Hey everybody, this is Adam. Before we get started today, I'd like to talk with you about something. For the past 5 years, Matt and I have been doing this podcast and we've had a blast doing it. Over this time, we've never asked anything of our listeners. We don't inundate you with ads or ask for some type of subscription fee. But this year, we do have something to ask of you. On October 4th, our brother Mark passed away, leaving behind his wife and 4 children. What we'd ask you to do is to donate, if you've enjoyed this podcast. Even if you haven't enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and donate to a college fund for his 4 children. I'll put the website address in the liner notes on iTunes or wherever you get this podcast. You can see them. And we'll also tweet it out. Thank you very much. Anything that you could give would be appreciated. And now, this week's show. It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In episode 207, we have guest Alan Seawright, director of Inside BYU Football on BYU TV. He joins us to talk about his show, and then we geek out a little bit on some movies. Matt and I then preview the San Jose State game, talk about what we learned about the basketball team from Friday's scrimmage, and we answer your tweet bag questions. This is the Rise and Shout podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Like us on Twitter, or follow us, I guess, on Twitter, at BYU_RiseShout, and listen to us yap right now. Welcoming to the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, first-time guest, Alan Seawright, the director of the excellent Inside BYU Football on BYU TV. Alan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Adam. Pleasure to be here.
So we'll start with that topic. We're going to get to movies here in a bit because you and I have interacted on Twitter a fair amount about movies. But before we get to the important stuff, we'll talk about Inside BYU Football. So I watched it the first time that first week, and I think like a lot of other fans said, wow, we have never really seen Inside Bronco Mendenhall's program like this at all. Walk us through how this show came to be and how you got involved.
Well, the thank you, first of all, for the compliments. It's been a great show to work on. So the way the show came to be, actually, the executive producer of the show is a guy named Michael Miner. I don't know if he's executive or supervising. Anyway, he's the guy who runs all of sports for BYU TV, basically. He was an executive producer of a little show you might have heard of called SportsCenter for 6 years.
I have heard of that show. It's fairly popular.
Yeah. So he was basically one of the 3 dudes who ran that for 6 years at ESPN. And then about 5 years ago, he came out to BYU TV. He's a BYU grad and took over all the sports stuff. So that basically coincided with going independent and all of the many broadcasts that you see, BYU Sports Nation and all of the live games. He runs all of that stuff. And after further review, he's the supervising producer for that. So he's been, basically since he showed up, he's been, pestering is too strong a word, but he's been after Bronco to, hey, give us some access. We really, you know, it would be a great thing for the program. It would be good for BYU TV. We think it would be good for you as the coach and for the players, et cetera. And, you know, Bronco's a very insular guy, not in a negative way. He's just a very introverted person and doesn't like sharing. That way. And to his credit, he actually came, like, Michael had been working on that for 5 years. And Bronco basically out of the blue this summer said, hey, you know how you've been talking to me about doing this Inside show? Let's get lunch and talk about it. So they sat down for lunch, had a conversation for about 25 minutes, and Bronco said, yeah, let's do that.
Awesome.
And that was it. Then, of course, there were, you know, with any bureaucracy, there are all the hurdles you jump through and who's going to fund it. Is it coming from BYU? Is it coming from athletics? Is it, you know, da, 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 and, you know, all of the stuff that you deal with in any large organization, which was kind of fun because what happened there is, what ended up happening is, you know, Bronco was on board with the show, greenlit the show. Everybody else had more or less given the green light, but there were still T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted. We didn't actually have a contract and an official show that was really going to happen until I had already been shooting for 2.5 hours the first day of fall camp. So, and that's not out of the ordinary at all for television or any kind of large project. I'm sure that happens outside of the TV industry and film industry as well. So it's not, that's not a slight on BYU. It's just funny that that's how it turned out.
So what has been, I mean, I think a lot of fans, if I've interacted with people on Twitter and talked to a few folks about BYU football, I mean, one of the things that have irked fans, some fans, I'm not as bothered by it, but some fans, is the lack of access. You know, Bronco doesn't give people a lot of look at practices and some other things, which is not, I mean, neither does Nick Saban, or a lot of coaches don't give a ton of access to fans and limit the reporters. What has it been like as you've talked to BYU football fans or heard their reactions about kind of that insider view of the program that, you know, nobody has seen before during Bronco Mendenhall or even before that?
Pretty much universally, it's just been jealousy. Everybody wants my job. And I have a tough time explaining to them that you really don't, because it's 60 to 80 hours a week, and you don't get to be a football fan.
Right.
I live with these guys. I go to practice. I go to meetings. I'm with them all day, every day, except when I'm, you know, working with the editors and the producers on getting the cut for the show ready for the week. But, you know, that being said, it has been, it's been a fantastic experience, and it's, I don't know what to say aside from what you see on the show. We don't cut a lot out. We're not cleaning it up and sanitizing really at all. I mean, we have to cut the occasional player because they forgot to shave for 3 days, and the administration doesn't like to see that, and that's understandable. And there are occasional words used in the heat of the moment, but not as often as you might even expect. Yeah. It's a surprisingly not vanilla team. I mean, they're a bunch of really fun dudes having a good time and working really hard. But we don't doctor it very much. It's what you see is pretty much what you get out of the program.
Yeah, that's what it feels like when you watch it. I mean, it doesn't, you know, but people are always skeptical with any television program that's done like yours, that it's sanitized and edited. But, you know, it feels pretty real to me when I watch it. Can you walk through, have you had a fun, maybe unexpected experience so far filming, maybe a player or a practice where maybe something happened that you weren't anticipating, but something that was kind of fun that either did make the show or maybe even something that didn't end up on the editing room floor?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's really fun. Before every game, the players, and this hasn't made it in the show yet, the players actually go stay in a hotel up in Midway before home games, just that the night before to you know, get away from all the distractions and just be focused on the game the next day. And obviously when they travel, they're in a hotel. The night before, the team gets together and has a player-organized prayer. And, you know, to really feel the spirit and get in the mood before they have the prayer, the players will, a bunch of different guys will get up and do impressions of coaches, of other players. It gets really loud and really irreverent, to say the least. I would say the two most common targets are probably Coach Anai and Coach Papinga, just because they're very distinctive personalities.
Yes, they are.
But yeah, so that's, and that hasn't made it into the show yet. I don't know if we're going to find time. And that's another thing that's a little bit frustrating. For me as the director, I'm with these guys all the time, and I get to see so much, and we only have a half hour a week.
Right.
And so, you know, there's so much more that would be fun for the fans to see, and that would be interesting, and we don't have time.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe if the show runs for 10 years, by then we'll have run out of stories and everyone will know everything. But
yeah, we'll see. It's this BYU TV access between you, your show, upon further review, and of course the BYU Sports Nation Daily Show. I mean, now if you're a BYU fan and you feel like you're not getting enough information, I'd say I'd like to take you back 15 years when all you could do was read some Dick Harmon stories on the Daily Herald, and that was about all you got. So pretty cool time to be a fan.
It is fun. Well, and if you didn't live in Utah and you didn't get KSL, you couldn't watch 2/3 of the games. And
yeah. I've spent some time at the Steak Center as a kid, pointing a satellite dish, trying to catch a game. So, so before we jump off this topic, for those that haven't seen it, it's Inside BYU Football Tuesday evenings at 7:30 Eastern. Is that right?
7:30 Eastern, 5:30 Mountain. Yeah, it leads into AFR every week, except the bye week they took off. We didn't, of course.
Yeah, right.
We're doing work.
That's right. Blaine Fowler's just sitting around. But the other thing is, you can still get this if you miss a show. It's available on BYU TV on the website on demand, correct?
That is correct. There's apps on most platforms. I think now that the new Apple TV has apps, I think they're working on one for that. But yeah, BYUTV.org, you can stream it to your phone, tablet, computer, anything you want. And honestly, you have no excuse. Go back and rewatch every episode.
Yeah, they're
fantastic.
That's how I've watched it. I'm not an appointment TV watcher anymore. So
I'll be honest with you. It's my show, and I've missed the live broadcast on about half of the episodes. You can tell by my Twitter feed if I'm live tweeting at 9:30 at night.
Yes, live. Yeah. Well, that happens. You know, that happens with this podcast too. Sometimes it'll take me a while before I listen. Sometimes because I'm tired of hearing my own voice. So let's get on to something important. You are a film guy. You are a filmmaker, and I'm just a dude that watches movies. So we are now going to talk a little bit about movies. I'll start you off with a softball. I'll start off with the softball, and then we'll get to the harder one. What is your most anticipated movie between now and the end of the year?
Between now and the end of the year, obviously Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Yes.
It has to be. Like, Star Wars, for most people of our generation, and just people.
Just people that breathe.
Just people that breathe. It's, you know, it's a seminal thing. I'm a huge, huge Star Wars fan. When I was between the ages of 10 and probably 15 or 16, I literally watched a Star Wars movie every Sunday. I would just pop in one of the three and watch it. I can probably quote all three of the original trilogy.
I'm pretty close. And the only time I'm ever going to shell out any more money to Lucas for prior movies, besides new ones, is if they finally re-release the original cut. And I know there are technical issues why that's hard, but if they ever release that on Blu-ray, I will be the first guy lined up to buy it, but I'm not buying any more additions.
Well, Adam, I assume you've already spent plenty of money on the Star Wars film, so I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Have you heard of the despecialized editions?
Yes, I have. My brother, okay. We won't get into the technical, but I have a guy that can get me off of the Laserdisc, which had the unedited, but Laserdiscs, where did those go? So how about for this year coming up till now, Alan, do you have a favorite film? Something that stands out from the rest?
So, man, this one's a little tough. There's been a number of really good ones. My favorite probably just off the top of my head is The Martian, though. That was a great film.
Fantastic. Had you read the book?
I had read the book without knowing they were going to make it into a movie, and then found out that was Ridley Scott's next movie and just, you know, put that on my queue, like, okay, rebuy those tickets.
Yeah, it was pretty
awesome.
Did
not disappoint. Inside Out was phenomenal too, though.
Also a great movie. So I need to see it while not holding an 18-month-old.
That will improve your viewing experience.
Yes.
I took my 5-year-old and 3-year-old, and they were just having fun looking at the bright colors and laughing at Bing Bong, and meanwhile I was quietly weeping into my popcorn.
I'll admit to some crying. Where would you rate that with Pixar's movies? Is that one of their better ones? Do you think Can you pick a half a dozen of theirs better than that? I think it's up there in the top.
It's tough to pick a half dozen better than that. The trouble with Pixar, though, right, is they have their, you know, there's the Pixar Elite unit, which is, what, Inside Out. I would put Wall-E in there, Incredibles, Up, and basically all three of the Toy Stories.
Yes. And then you got the B-team of the Cars movies.
Yeah, the B-team are merely incredibly excellent films.
Right, right.
Aside from Cars 2, which somehow DreamWorks snuck that in and put a Pixar.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened with that one. Though, I have to say, my kids love Cars 2. Actually, they enjoy it more than the first Cars, but they just like Mater doing Mater things. How much anticipation do you have for The Good Dinosaur coming out soon from Pixar?
I'm actually really, really excited about that one. I film nerd guy alert. I'm going to name drop. I have some friends that work at Pixar, and one of them is she's one of the lead animators on The Good Dinosaur, and
she just
keeps freaking out about it. I don't have any insider info because they're very Apple-like in their secrecy over there.
Yes.
But I keep bugging her for details, and she just keeps saying nope. But it's one of our best ones ever. I'm like, okay, fine.
Okay, fine. Well,
you've already got my money. I'm going to go anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I will buy tickets. So now I have to ask you the most important question I've asked you yet. Do you have tickets yet for episode 7?
So here's where... Here's where the Inside BYU football show, as much as you might think, oh, it's the greatest thing ever, here's one of the issues with it. We don't know what bowl game we're going to. And if we go to Las Vegas, I can't. We're going to be in Vegas, so I'll end up going with some of the crew, and probably a bunch of the football players to Star Wars in Vegas. But I've had this great plan with. So my dad is a huge Star Wars fan. My 5-year-old son, huge Star Wars fan, loves the Clone Wars and Rebels. So we had this great plan that we were going to go, opening day, and have the three of us sitting there, three generations. And have a GoPro filming us reacting to the movie. So yeah, it would just pretty much be nerd screaming the whole time.
Can you guys wait and still do that even if you?
Oh, we're definitely going to do it because my 5-year-old, he doesn't know what an opening day is.
Right,
he
won't care. Yeah, my 5-year-old was Ahsoka for Halloween. She, I've raised them right, Alan.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it.
I showed them the original trilogy before they even ever knew there were prequels.
My kids still don't know that there are prequels. They're kind of confused as to how Anakin turns into Darth Vader, and I'm just going to let them be confused.
Well, the 5 and 6-year-old are easily scared. I'm not sure I want to, besides subjecting them to a mediocre film, I also don't want to scar them for life with Anakin, who they love in the Clone Wars movies, basically killing children.
And getting his face melted off.
Yeah. Actually, now I'm going to get you out on the last question, which is,
here's our
scale on from 0 to Detmer, Detmer being the ultimate excitement. How excited were you by the trailer? Have you watched it?
Wow, I tried for Total Media Blackout, and boy, that lasted for 45 minutes. I watched the trailer just on repeat 5 or 6 times because I just couldn't handle it. Have you seen? Now this is the real question. I'm easily. Who would be?
We kind of done. Detmer's the top.
Is McMahon two? I think
McMahon is two, and then it's like Young or Bosco.
I was probably Steve Young excited after the trailer, but then did you see a fan put together a fan edit that is the Han Solo flashback trailer?
Yes, I did see that.
I watched that one and it just jumped right up to the
Yeah, that one was pretty awesome. My favorite part now though is watching my fellow geeks, and I don't say this pointing fingers at anybody, overreacting to little things in the trailer. Luke's not in it. Is he the bad guy? And
oh,
all
goodness.
The kind of crazy stuff that that just, you know, when we were kids, not only did we not probably think about that, Alan, but there was no forum for this, right? Like, who were you going to talk to?
There was no forum for it, and there was no way to just watch the trailer over and over and over.
You saw it in the theater, and then you went home and talked with your buddies about it and argued about what you saw.
Well, and if you're me, you talked with your buddies incessantly about it, and they made fun of you a lot.
Yes. Yes.
Then told you to shut up.
And my brothers, for that matter, too.
Yes, exactly. So. But yeah, that's I remember the episode one trailer. I was one of the like three people that I knew that actually managed to download the entire trailer because it was such a huge 150 megabyte file.
I know. It must have taken you hours, Alan.
Oh, it took like a day and a half.
Yeah.
It was terrible. And we've just dated ourselves as
being
sad old men.
Yes, I am 24. So, Alan, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. We'll definitely have you on again. Really encourage anybody that has not seen the show. It is a fun, just different look at the program, and definitely should check that out on BYU TV. That's Inside BYU Football. So, Alan, thanks for coming on. Anything else you want to pitch before we sign off?
I'm looking forward to your novel.
Oh, and, thanks.
I'm hoping it doesn't disappoint on the nerd level that I anticipate it will.
Yes, yes. Well, it's a nerdy novel written by a nerd for nerds, so it should
excellent.
At least hit on that.
Hit all three checkboxes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks, Alan, for coming on the podcast, and we'll definitely have you on again.
Glad to be here.
CougarFan.com, Rise and Shout Podcast. Matt, how did you spend your bye week?
I went trick-or-treating.
I did
as
well.
That's what I did.
I did as well.
And I took a giant nap.
Yeah? How was that giant nap?
It lasted like 25 minutes. It was glorious.
That's not giant.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I guess you do have a young baby in the house.
Yeah, sleep is at a premium right now. So, yeah, the trick-or-treating was great.
Yeah. Trick-or-treating was awesome. Yeah, trick-or-treating was fun. I am one of the only adults in our neighborhood that dresses up, so that's always fun.
Not a surprise.
I get some dirty looks from some of the other dads because I'll hear kids say things like, "Dad, why didn't you dress up?"
Yep.
And then
I would have been the dad giving you dirty looks.
And you know what I say? Tough.
Well, you know what I did at one point is my 4-year-old decided he didn't want to wear his Batman mask.
Okay.
So I wore the Batman mask for a little while.
Have you watched the Bat Dad videos?
I was doing the voice. The kids love it. I do it here in the house. The kids love it.
It's Bat Dad he's one of my heroes, quite frankly. I just wish I had come up with that idea.
It's brilliant.
It was absolutely brilliant. And I always get a kick out of it because your wife's name is Jen. And I can, when he's, Jen, don't forget to put in the fabric softener. It's awesome.
That's I do that exact thing here in the house. My wife also loves the fact that his wife's name is Jen, because that means I know exactly what to yell.
Yes. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. So, Matt,
she loves yelling in the house.
Yes,
loves
I'm it. Sure. As do most moms of small children. They do
especially
love.
When you sneak up behind her unexpectedly and yell her name. Jen!
I've thought of being Darth Dad now that I have my sweatshirt that's the Darth Vader costume. So I've thought of doing that. The kids did get a kick out of me being dressed as Darth Vader and saying things like "I find your lack of faith disturbing." So Matt, let's move on to CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
So, Matt, two wins for women's soccer since we last recorded. WCC Player of the Week for Nadia Gomes. They're back on track after a rough week the week before. So, good job for the Cougars there. Women's volleyball takes down number 24 San Diego in 3 straight sets, setting them up as a chance to win the WCC crown and headed into the tournament.
You really can't say the word tournament? Did you say terminant?
Terminant. To the terminant. I don't know. Hold on. You know what I need? You know what I didn't do, Matt? That's why can't talk. I can't talk. Here we go.
Here it is.
Did you hear that?
I did.
Ah, there we go. Get a little fuel, my friend. Brought to you by Dr. Pepper. Ah, there we go. All right.
I left my refreshing beverage in the other room.
Yeah, well, it's too late for that, buddy.
Rookie mistake. That's just a rookie mistake. Yeah.
Do you realize? Wait a second. Wait a second. I was going to bring this up, and then I didn't, but I got to bring it up. Do you realize, and I said this to my wife this morning, and she said, she called me an idiot, but that happens all the time. We recorded our first podcast 5 years ago next week.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like our fifth anniversary. That's the comment I said that got me, you're an idiot comment. I said, Matt and I are having our fifth anniversary.
So, oh, it sounds kind of weird when you say it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it does. That's why she called me an idiot. All right, let's get
this. We've got to. No, we need to do something for the 5-year anniversary podcast next week.
Next week, I know. We got to have, I don't know, we got to do something big. I don't know, pomp, circumstance. What do you do for a fifth anniversary? Is that like your crystal anniversary?
The
or
copper, maybe it's the brown paper bag anniversary.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is.
It's not brown paper bag. By the way, there is no brown paper bag anniversary. That's just a myth. Yeah, so if somebody tells you that, they're just messing with you. Don't
give your wife a brown paper
bag.
Don't do that. It worked poorly for both of us. So Matt, back to Cougars in the news. Norm Chow was let go as Hawaii's head coach. That program is in kind of an interesting spot. Wouldn't be totally surprised if they do away with football. Kind of hard to run a football team from basically a different continent. Let's be honest. I mean, it's a tiny little continent, but it's not anywhere near here.
Not a continent. It's an island.
It's an island.
But yeah.
I know it's not a continent. Come on.
But it's that far away.
It's far away. You know, it's not really, it's technically.
It'd be easier to run a team out of Mexico, actually.
Canada. You'd be, you would have to go through customs every time. But anyway.
TSA pre-check. I mean, you'd be all right.
I know that Norm Chow, just like Robert and I, was much maligned while he was the offensive coordinator at BYU. BYU football is not what it is today without Norm Chow.
Absolutely not. And arguably, neither is USC.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, he is a very good offensive coordinator. I'm not sure. And it'd be interesting if we went back in time and he had taken over instead of why can't I think of his name?
He who shall not be mentioned.
Yeah, he who shall not be mentioned. You mean Voldemort? But anyway.
Voldemort coached at BYU? When did Voldemort, I miss this?
Wow, they really don't like him, do they? So, Matt, let's go into Cougars in the pros with the first pick
in the NFL draft.
You know, I went online and tried to pick one off. The problem was there's always guys in the background yelling things about the Jets. So,
see, we can't have anything about the Jets on this podcast.
No, nothing about the Jets. So, anyway, Cougars in the
Interestingly,
pros.
Though, we're willing to say the Jets, but we're not willing to say Gary Crone.
Quite honestly, I just had an absolute brain fart. I couldn't remember Crone's name. So,
Crone has had an interesting trail since he left BYU, too.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
that's
he
just
has.
Weird.
Not as
this last move up to where is he now? Oregon State is like a
offensive consultant. Well, I'll tell you what, Oregon State could use it. Their offense is terrible. So, Matt.
Hey, wait, one more question. Let me ask you this.
I'm trying to do Cougars in the pros here. Come on, buddy.
I've got a quick Cougar coaching carousel question for you.
All right, fire away.
Is Kalani Fifita going to end up at USC?
Oh, I don't know. What do you think?
I think that could be interesting. I don't know. He's probably too young to get hired into that head coach job.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, who knows?
I don't know. It's an interesting time right now for college football coaches, and we could do a whole podcast on this. I mean, people getting fired in the middle of the year, people
There's
retiring.
10 or 11 openings right now in Division I.
People retiring, you know, the old ball coach retiring in the middle of the year, which actually I have no problem with. I know a lot of people said they did, but, I mean, this way it kind of helps clear out any question about recruiting. But anyway, I don't know, man. And a lot of young guys are getting jobs too. You know, it's either and people went with a retread like Mike Riley at Nebraska. That has not worked out very well.
Right.
You know, and I wonder if some of these schools look around and go, you know what? Let's not go for a retread. Let's go for somebody young and it's got something, you know? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Speaking of young guys who've got something, that's what we like to call a professional segue. Jimmer is just got drafted by the NBDL, or what is that thing called? The development.
D-League. I just call it the D-League.
The D-League. And he's trying, the New York Post had a story about him trying to get on that 15th spot on the Knicks roster. You and I had talked about him going to the Knicks a couple of years ago on the podcast. Not sure it's a fit now or not. Is this just sad? Is it okay if I'm sad? We're talking about the D-League website has Jimmer's picture on it.
Now, there's nothing to be sad about here.
No?
You know, there's not a lot of spots in the NBA.
There are not a lot of spots.
As far as number of players to make it to a to the professional level, at that highest level, the NBA is pretty tough to crack. The rosters are small.
And there's
people
new,
stick around for a long time.
And there's new people coming in every year looking for that roster spot.
Yeah, it is tough. And so you look at Jimmer. He's never really found a good fit. You know, it's not just about fit, if we're honest, right? I mean, he's not been competitive in some of these situations.
That is correct. It's not just about fit. He has not performed. I mean, the Spurs are a team that I think is unconventional and certainly smart as any other organization in professional sports, not just the NBA. They took a look and passed. I mean, it's not like we're still sitting around going, those idiot coaches in Sacramento, you know, just didn't see it. Nobody's seen it, unfortunately.
He's had a handful of stops now. I'm not super optimistic that he's going to end up on the Knicks roster. I think what happens here is he takes this shot and then he ends up in Europe. And yeah. I think Jimmer's going to play a lot of basketball in his life. I think he's going to continue to play at a professional level. But I could see him getting out of the NBA, going over to Europe or playing internationally, and being very successful.
Yeah.
And so this isn't sad. This is just a guy chasing his dream, trying to make it happen.
All right.
That's all this is.
Thank you. You just picked me up. That was a little pick me up there. Also in the pros, Wani Unga, over the last couple of weeks, Matt, 12 tackles and a forced fumble. He's the man. He's doing an excellent job. Also staying in the NFL, before we get to Ziggy, Vannoy's not playing. He's not hurt that I know of now. He's just not cracking the lineup. I hope that next year, if he comes in fully healthy, he can do that. His teammate Ziggy Ansah has 7 sacks so far this week. So far this season, 7 in one game would be a lot. But he's playing for a terrible team. But the nice thing was that he and Alex Smith got into a little scuffle. And if you're Alex Smith, do you really want to get in a scuffle with a physical freak like Ziggy Ansah?
No, you don't. You don't. He'll snap you in two.
He took a late slide, and Ansah kind of gave him the business. And then he got up and got flagged. Alex Smith got flagged, basically because he's a punk. If you don't like guys trying to hit you, Alex, there's other things you could be doing with your life.
Well, listen, Alex Smith, I mean, he's Alex Smith. Come on. But I think it's great.
Yeah.
And Ziggy is nasty.
He is, by all accounts, one of the nicest dudes off the football field. But especially since he's been in the NFL, he brings it. And he's going to be in the NFL for a long time and make a fair amount of money. Which he already has, actually. So, Matt, we have a football game to talk about. Last week we did not have anything to preview, so we're going to preview the San Jose State game.
Yeah.
Newsflash, they're better than Wagner, but not by much. Okay. So, a few injury updates. Adam Hine will be back. We'll get to that here in a minute, Matt. I'm a little bit more concerned with the offensive line. Riker Matthews is questionable. and Lapuaho and Johnson. I said that correctly in one take.
You did.
And Johnson are
you're
doubtful.
You're growing.
I know, I am growing. Mainly because of peanut butter eggs from Halloween. But
peanut butter pumpkins.
Oh, yeah, well, peanut butter pumpkins, you're right. That's Easter. I don't care what form they come in. Tree, egg, pumpkin, whatever. I just wish it 4th of July they do a star or something.
They should do one for every holiday. It should be 12 months a year. You do a star, right? This is easy. You do a star or something else, even summery. You could do a little sun.
Yes.
You could do in the fall, you do a little leaf, like the leaves falling off the tree.
Snowman in January.
All snowmans. Snowmans?
Snowmans.
Snowmans?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Anyway, you could go wherever, you get the in March, you have a four-leaf clover.
Yes.
You could do this thing all year long. They should just stop. Listen, this is going to sound crazy.
It's not crazy.
Just stop selling Reese's peanut butter cups.
Absolutely. They're not
just
as good.
Just sell these. Just sell these.
Those dang like frilly edges, it messes up the peanut butter to chocolate ratio.
It's all messed up in those things.
Yeah.
All messed up.
Absolutely. I don't usually compliment you, Matt, but this is one of the best ideas you've ever had. And I don't mind saying it. On our fifth anniversary.
I appreciate you recognizing me for my brilliance.
Yes. Well, whoa. Let's not
No, that's what just happened. All right, let's move on.
All right.
So you recognize that I'm brilliant and we're looking at the San Jose State game.
I'm going to edit all that out. So Matt, San Jose State, according to Football Outsiders, they are the 96th best team in the country. Their offense and defense ranks in the 90s for Football Outsiders as well. So we'll get to a tweet bag question here in a minute that I think is key. But their offensive weapon is freshman running back Tyler Irvin. The key stat, he has 1,159 yards. He's averaging 6 yards a carry and 12 touchdowns. He is the guy BYU will have to stop. So Matt, let's jump to the tweet bag question here from Johnny Dangerman on Twitter. He says, San Jose State pass defense is really good. Truth or opponent-based mirage? And will Irvin rush like Perkins did on RD? So let's tackle that first part of the question, Matt. They are, if you look at raw statistics, one of the better pass defense teams in the country. Matt, is it a mirage or do you think they're good?
It's a mirage.
It's
come
an
on.
Absolute mirage.
It's come on, UNH?
So let's look,
I mean, look at this schedule. This is absurd.
Air Force, who doesn't want to ever pass the ball. Oregon State.
Which is just crazy to me because it's the Air Force.
I know. It is kind of funny, right, that the Air Force doesn't do anything in the air. Oregon State is terrible. Fresno's terrible. Auburn just ran the ball on them. UNLV, they won there, but UNLV's not any good. San Diego State absolutely blasted them. And San Diego State's, I hate even calling them decent because of my
emotional
feelings.
Oh, they're not. Come on.
They're okay. And then, of course, they beat New Mexico, who's awful. It's a total mirage. Tanner Mangum's going to throw the ball all over the field. And quite frankly, he may not need to because, as we talked about, Hine's back. You've got this full – I can't even believe I'm saying this because we didn't think this was going to be true at the beginning of the year. We're deep at running back with Hine back. No, this is an absolute and complete – mirage.
And that's going to become very clear after BYU and Boise State for these guys.
Yes. Yes. It will be their the statistics will change drastically in the next couple of weeks, I think. But the thing is, maybe they won't because, you know, I don't know. All reports are that Tanner Mangum's hamstring is doing well. We may run the ball 50 times, right? Because
maybe.
These guys can't defend the run, or at least they haven't shown any of that ability. Let's get the second part of his question. Talented freshman running back. I have only seen some film, so I have not sat down and watched a San Jose State game this year, which is, you know, just proves I have other things to do in my life. Do you think Irvin is going to run all over us like Perkins did in that UCLA game?
No. So I've not seen a lot of San Jose State, but I watched the San Jose State Fresno State game.
I'm sorry. And
it must have been a Thursday or a Friday night game or something.
I can't remember.
Maybe it was the late Saturday night game. I don't know. But
it was a Saturday night game. You're right. It was the late game.
So listen, this guy's not going to run on the BYU defense. This is not UCLA.
Well,
the only thing that this offense has in common with UCLA, I guess they've got two things in common: color scheme and state.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think he may be as talented as Perkins, and I'm not saying. I think that may be true, actually. But the team around him is not as talented. And if we stack the box and, you know, we've gotten better against the run as the season has gone on, had good game against Cincinnati and Connecticut. Of course, they're not very good. I think he will run okay. I think he will end up with 75, 80 yards and four something yards a carry. The problem is going to be they're going to be behind by a lot and going to have to start to throw anyway.
Yeah.
So there's that. So Matt, let's do a little over under here. Tanner Mangum, over under 275 yards passing.
Over.
I'm going to do under. I think he will pass well, but I don't think he'll have to. I'm going to change this up a little bit. Let's not do this one as an over under. Let's do this one as a pick 'em. Matt, which running back has the most touches Friday night against San Jose State?
Ooh. Actually, that's a tough one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go with Algie Brown.
Yeah, I'm probably going Algie Brown, but yeah, I'll go with Algie Brown.
Don't you think they're going to bring, I mean, Bronco, we're recording this Tuesday night. To the media on Monday, he did say they were going to kind of play it by ear a little bit with Hine throughout the game,
right,
see how he's doing. But that also could mean, well, if he's doing really good, we just keep rolling with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I don't think you need him to win this game, right? So, you know, if you don't need to push him, there's no reason to push him, right? We've got a big game coming up against Missouri 8 days later, so you definitely want to make sure you've got kind of that going. If you look at Brown's touches so far this year, he doesn't catch the ball a ton. You know, his max game in touches was 26 against Connecticut. I think whoever leads the running backs is going to have less than 20 because I think they're going to spread it around.
He's
going to get 10 to 12. Brown will get like 18-ish. You're going to see Francis Bernard. I mean, I think you'll see kind of a committee, and we're going to be ahead by a lot. So you may see some Nate Carter too. So Matt, over under 3.5 sacks by the BYU defense.
Over. I'm not. That's easy.
Really? Did I set it too low?
Yeah.
Really?
I think you at least got to go up into 4.5 or 5 before this gets interesting.
Hey, we only had 3 against Wagner. Okay, we weren't really trying.
Yeah, and that's well, whatever.
Yeah. So I am going to go over, but I'm not as confident as you in that. I think one of the things is they're not going to throw. If the game is at all close in the first half, they're not going to throw much. They're going to be handing it off to their running back. But yeah, this could will be an 8-sack game like Cincinnati. Probably not, but it could easily be 5 or 6. So Vegas has BYU favored by 12.5 points, Matt. You taking the BYU on that, or are you taking the points?
I'm taking BYU.
I am also taking BYU. Over-under is 56.5 total points scored between the two teams, Matt. Over-under 56.5.
Under.
I am also going to go under. Interesting to hear what you have to say as far as the outcome goes, Matt. So your prediction against San Jose?
So I see, obviously, I'm predicting a win here in this game.
Yes.
I think BYU is going to be able to move the ball on these guys on the ground and in the air. I do not think that that San Jose State's going to run the ball really well, but I do think they're going to score some points. So I'm going to go ahead and take. So I've told you what I'm doing with the line and the over-under. I think it's a win for BYU. Final score 35-21.
35-21. Wow, you've got way more faith in San Jose State than I do.
There's some garbage scores here.
Yeah, I don't think there are. I'm going to go BYU 42-7. San Jose State is not good. Okay, on BYU Sports Nation today, they asked Blaine Fowler if this could be a trap game. They're not a good enough team for this to be a trap game. They're just not. I mean, they're not any good. They're Connecticut, right? Maybe they can hang with us for a half if we come out completely flat. But that's about it that you're going to get out of this. I'm not really worried even on the road that there's going to be anything there. So, all right, that's our preview of the game. We did have one more tweet bag question about this game, Matt. Steve, oh, sorry, I interrupted
you. I was going to give you another tweet bag.
Thank you. I went too fast. I'm sorry.
Well, and we'd already done it once, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's true. So Steve on Twitter, that's at slarson801. I think that's his area code, Matt. Hope we're not giving out any personal information here. He asks, are you planning on staying awake for the entire San Jose State game? Any stay awake tips? So Matt, will you be awake when the clock hits zero in the fourth quarter?
Yes. Okay, 100%.
I will also be awake. This game, of course, starts at 10:30 our time. Oh, boy, that is pretty late. I will also be awake. How do you maintain your awakeness?
Kickstart. Pineapple, kickstart. Orange, mango, baby.
Yeah, I'll be downing several Dr. Peppers throughout and eating. I can actually hear you getting fatter. I'll be eating a lot. And
yeah, but that's true anyways.
That's true. And I'll probably break out the laptop or certainly be on my phone on Twitter just to have something else going on, especially in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Percent chance we see Bo Hodge in this game.
100.
Yeah, I think.
No, actually, I'm not convinced that that's true. I don't know that it's 100%. I think it's highly likely.
90-something, probably.
But I think the chances are fairly high.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're fairly high. So, Matt, let's move over to basketball.
Hoops.
Hoops. There was a preseason game versus Arizona Christian.
Is that a high school?
Yeah, I don't know what they are.
It's never really clear to me.
So here are some stat lines, Matt. Tell me if any of these surprise you. Nick Emery, 20 points, 3 boards, 4 assists. Surprise?
Nope.
Toulson, 23 points, 6 boards, 2 assists.
Nope. I'm surprised here with the points.
You thought... Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I thought in an exhibition game like this, I mean, he's a scorer. He could go off. Kyle Davis, 9 points, 6 boards, 4 assists from Kyle Davis.
I like it.
Looked good in the post. Jacob Hartsock, and this is apparently a team filled with former Cougars relatives.
Yeah, what Toulson, is this, like a family Hartsock, reunion team?
Emery, yeah. Hartsock had 12 points. Any surprise there?
I was surprised to see Hartsock getting in on the action.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes sense when you look at what it looks like they were trying to do here.
Yeah, they're trying to give some of these younger guys who don't have a lot of experience. Obviously, Kyle Davis isn't in the younger category, but he, of course, doesn't have a lot of game experience as a Cougar. None. Team shot 18 of 36 from three-point land. Awesome.
Pretty cool.
I mean, obviously,
doing that will be in good shape.
This is like the Wagner game. I don't know how much you can take from it. It's not even like the Wagner game because we didn't even really play our
and the Wagner
best
game
players.
At least it counted.
Yes. This game, of course, does not count. So, Matt, back to the tweet bag. You're not going to give me back. Another tweet back.
Really? Really?
I don't even know if you're going to do it. Sorry, man. You're too slow. I'm moving.
No, you moved too fast last time. So I'd moved on.
Yeah, all right.
You
all
tweet
right.
back.
So Andre Hutchins on Twitter, that's @AC_Hutchins. He says, we have lots of talent, but we're very raw and very young. What happened to playing inside out? I don't think, Andre, you can take anything out of how the offense is going to really look like based on Friday night's exhibition game. Do you agree?
No, I absolutely agree. I think there was a lot of that floating around on Twitter and the way people were reacting to this exhibition game. This is not a preview of your 2015-16 Cougar basketball team.
No, you didn't even have your point guard.
That's not what this is. No, yeah, that's just not what it is.
This isn't what it is. I agree with you. Is Ates really BYU's best post option? Both of us last week on our basketball preview, go back and listen if you haven't had a chance to do that. We both picked Ates as the best post option, Matt. Anything changed for you based on Friday night?
No.
No, nothing changed.
Like I said, it's an exhibition game against a team of dubious competition at best.
Yeah.
I just wanted to use the word dubious. I'm not even sure it's right there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not ready to make wholesale changes to my expectations or beliefs about this team based on that exhibition game.
So we've got another tweet bag question, Matt, from Brian Taylor. That's @BoozerTaylor. He is now in his second week in a row of getting a tweet bag question in there. He lists off Collinsworth and Fisher, Emery, Chapman, Toulson, Celius, six players for basically three spots. How do you play them all, Matt?
I don't know that you can.
You don't. You don't.
Yeah, so the cream will rise to the top here, and those will be, and that's who will get to play.
One of those five, six guys will not play a ton, and their name is not Collinsworth or Fisher, obviously. I don't know who it is. But one of those other four guys, Emery, Chapman, Toulson, and Celius, I think Emery's going to play a lot. But even among Toulson, Chapman, and Celius, I don't know. I don't know who emerges out of that group. I'd pick Toulson or Chapman first, probably. But if it's Celius at the end of the year who's had the most impact, are you going to be like sitting there going, wow, didn't see that coming?
Kind of. You mean out of those three?
Out of Chapman, Toulson, and Celius.
Yeah, it could be any of those.
Yeah, yeah. Emery will all be surprised if he isn't an impact player this season. But out of those three, they're all talented. Toulson showed flashes last year. Chapman is good. Celius is supposed to be, I don't know. But one of those guys isn't going to play much unless there's an injury. That's just going to be how it is.
That's just the way it's going to shake out.
So, Matt, we got a tweet bag question. Let's move on to football. College football at large. I was not watching this game live, but I did see the game later. @JohnnyDangerman on Twitter, another tweet back question from him. He asked for our thoughts on the Duke Miami game, and then asked us what is the worst penalty officiating in a BYU game. Matt, I'm sure now seen the 8 lateral touchdown kickoff return. First of all, was it a massively miss? Did the officials screw that one up?
Yeah, like in six different ways.
Yes, yes.
I mean, the conference is even saying that, yeah, there are some issues here.
Yes.
And it's embarrassing for the ACC. I'm embarrassed for Miami. I mean, somebody went and made T-shirts for this. And they called it the return or something. And they got a picture, a cute little picture with the dotted line of where the ball all went and all the laterals. I'm like, hey, guys, you're wearing a T-shirt of a play that
shouldn't
like, didn't
have
actually
happened.
Do that.
Yeah. I mean, his knee was down. And
you know, the knee
was
down.
Three
there was a flag that was
blocks.
Thrown for a block in the back that was picked up with no explanation. You know, there it was riddled with problems.
Yes.
You know, and you know, people, you can get into, well, the entire game, there were some calls, the previous Duke touched on all this. There were some calls on this. I get that, but guess what? Nobody cares because at the end of the day, this was such a poorly officiated play There were players that left the bench. There were Miami players on the field before the guy got into the end zone without their helmets on. They came in off the bench. I mean, the whole thing is just insane.
But hey, did you see some highlights of that last drive of Duke and how bad the calls were? I mean, this whole game
the refs were bad all night.
They butchered this game. And you know, listen, I am one of the first people to jump on officials. These are professionals. They should be good at their job. But usually, 99% of the time, you didn't win or lose a game because of the officials, right? I think it's really rare that a game is really decided by an official. This game wasn't just decided by the officials. It was about the officials. Because the last drive that Duke scored on to go ahead and that final play were butchered so badly. Like you said, how can you be happy as a Duke or Miami fan? As a Duke fan, obviously, you're not happy. But even as a Miami fan, if BYU had won like that, I mean, yeah, it counted as a W. But like you said, I'm not
going to go buy the T-shirt.
I'm not going to go buy the T-shirt. I just sometimes I look at this and I just, they are making, college football is making billions of dollars, right, as a collective. The ACC is one of the quote-unquote Power Five conferences. Okay, go get full-time officials. And they don't even have them in the NFL either, but at least they pay their NFL officials enough that it could be a very nice full-time gig if you just want to do it. But let's stop with some of this, because ACC, especially this year, this isn't the first time either. They've had some badly officiated games this year. That you just don't see in the SEC and some of the other conferences. Big Ten, I don't see officiating like this in the Big Ten. I watch a lot of Big Ten games. They're always questionable calls, but man, that was terrible.
Yeah, that was just awful.
That was just bad. I mean, everyone wants it to make it like the band is on the field. It's not that play.
No. The game was not that scale. It's not that type of a rivalry between these two teams.
No.
This was a ranked Duke team that got hosed by a bunch of, and now they're going to have to deal with a bunch of Miami fans who were living in the past of when, you know, of Miami's heyday, when really that program right now is a total mess. It is a hot mess.
Dumpster fire. So Matt, let's talk one up, one down. We do this not every week, but a lot of weeks. What's one team that has nationally that has kind of impressed you in the last couple of weeks that you think they're in that playoff discussion? Let's start there. Who's your one up?
Well, see, I kind of have two that I'm not impressed with.
Okay, let's start there.
We'll
start with the one down, or you can do two down if you want, because you're a cheater.
Well, okay. Iowa.
Ah, yes.
Right? Ranked in the top 10, undefeated and all this, but come on. Really?
Yeah, they're not winning the Big Ten.
No, not going to happen, right? And it's nice for them to be able to hang out in the top 10 for a little while because they're going to cruise into a Big Ten championship game where they will get run into a buzzsaw in the form of Ohio State or Michigan State, right? That's one that I'm not terribly excited about. I think I've had this team as one of my one-ups before, but Baylor.
Right. Right.
I'm just not feeling it.
Here's the thing. I think this could happen again, that the Big 12 gets locked out. I see a scenario where basically the only great win on either of their schedules is whoever wins Baylor and TCU. I think it's very likely. Like, if I were to pick today, all right, let's just end the season today. I don't have TCU or Baylor in my top four. Do you?
Nope. And honestly, I'm not convinced that Baylor gets to that TCU game undefeated.
I'm not 100% convinced of that either. 100%? 100%.
I think they could drop Oklahoma or Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I think either TCU or Baylor could drop a game before they play each other. So my one down though, Matt, is my one down is Baylor. I'm with you. I don't think we see them in the college football playoff one way or another. So who's the team that you think, wow, They're either better than you thought, or they're on the rise, or maybe they're just as good as you thought, but you're still excited about them.
Tell you, a team that is maybe better than I had originally thought, Clemson. And maybe I'm just jumping on a bandwagon here.
Well, the computers love Clemson.
You know, and I'm not saying this last week is or they did anything that really pushed me over the top. But as I look here at teams that are in the top, the teams are hanging around, that is a team that at the beginning of the season I would not have predicted to be in the position that they're in. But I think they're for real.
They have out well, number one, the college football rankings just came out as we were talking, Matt, as we've been recording this podcast. Clemson is number one, followed by LSU, Ohio State, and Alabama. It won't end up shaking that way. If you remember last year, in the first college football playoff rankings, Ohio State was 16th. So things can happen. But the computers like Clemson. Their schedule has not been a cupcake as Baylor and TCU's schedule. They already have wins in conference that are pretty good, including an out-of-conference win against Notre Dame that looks really good, because I think Notre Dame is maybe not a great team, but a very good one.
That's really the signature win for them.
Yes, but they'll get a chance to put a signature win on Saturday against Florida State. They win that game, and it's all kind of clear sailing for them into the college football playoff, I think. Obviously, they have to then go beat North Carolina or Pittsburgh or somebody coming out of the Coastal Division, but I think Clemson will do that pretty handily. They've outscored their opponents by almost 200 points this season.
Yeah.
They've outscored in their five conference wins 211-99. They are also my one-up team. They are better than I thought they were, and I've got to give them credit. Now, if they fall to Florida State this weekend, their chances to get in may be gone, depending on how well Alabama plays for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think Alabama probably gets in there if Clemson drops that
game. Bama's hanging around, and they're pretty good. They're pretty darn good. Notre Dame is also hanging around, though I don't think I'm not necessarily thinking they're going to make it, but.
But I'll tell you, one game this weekend, you talk about one up, one down, one that I think will be a telling game for me as far as where I stand on this next week is Bama-LSU. That's going to be a big game. I think that's going to tell us a lot about where these guys stand and who really is the best team coming out of that conference.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that Bama-LSU. This last couple of weeks, there have been some good games, but lackluster in the like marquee matchups. You look at this weekend, and the slate is just... I mean, there are some snoozers, of course, there always are. But, man, there are some good ones. And, Matt, how about some props to Purdue Boilermakers for taking down Nebraska? Not good for BYU's strength of schedule, but at least Purdue has won a game in conference.
You know what I love about it is that they've finally just said, hey, you know what? This isn't working. Let's go with the younger guys that this coaching regime recruited. Let's put them in and see what we can do.
Yeah.
And they moved the ball, they scored some points, and they looked like they were having a good time.
You know, one of the reasons I lose patience with some BYU fans whining about this season is my other team is so bad. They're 2-6.
They're hard to watch.
I would take everything BYU is and what they're doing well before before what's happening at Purdue. Well, Matt, this has been a podcast, not our fifth anniversary podcast.
No, nope, pretty close. Just one shy.
Well, yeah. Well, we may say it's 2 weeks away. Let's say it's 2 weeks, because 11/15, November 15th, we won't end up doing a show that day because obviously there's a game.
Wait a minute.
What?
So the anniversary is the 15th?
Yeah. Our first one was 5 years ago, November 15th, 2010.
Wow, that's awesome. That's the day after. It's the Mizzou weekend.
Yeah, it's the Mizzou weekend.
That's pretty cool.
So I think we'll plan on our anniversary podcast, fifth anniversary podcast, being November that next week. I don't know when we're going to record, but it's going to be awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
And you and I will be at Arrowhead.
Yes, sir.
We got
full of barbecue and.
full of barbecue. We got some suggestions from Todd and or Todd and D on Twitter for some places to go. And Matt, you know where I am excited to go, and we haven't talked about this, but I'm just going to put you on the spot on the podcast. The Negro League Museum.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's supposed to be spectacular, and it's connected to the Jazz Museum.
Yes. Yeah. We are such sports geeks that we need to do that.
We totally need to do that. And there's supposed to be a really cool World War I museum there as well. And not to mention, we are going to eat barbecue for at least 3 meals while we're there.
We're going to be there for more than 3 meals, Adam.
Are you saying we should do a barbecue breakfast?
I can't imagine why we would have a single meal that didn't include barbecue.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, with that, Matt, we would encourage everybody, of course, if you like the podcast, as I said at the beginning, there'll be a way for you to give back to our brother Mark and his family. Look for that on Twitter or in the show notes. Thanks for everybody for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!